All right, we're back. Welcome to another episode. It has been a while since we've done a video recording, but that makes me all the more excited because I believe God's got so much in store today. I'm your host, Marimbe, the founder of Peace and the Promise, and this is Life with Peace podcast. We're going to get straight into it today, and I want to share a story of something that I watched. This whole series of Life with Peace, by the way, is centered on the word soar. So we are soaring in our God-given calling. We are venturing off the shores of the beach and finding the courage to spread our wings and fly for maybe the first time if you are a first-time flyer, or maybe the second time if you are a returning veteran. Maybe you've been sidelined due to injury or bad behavior and you're returning to the field. So this whole series is centered on the term soar. So we are soaring. And I was inspired by this documentary that I watched, as I've shared in earlier episodes. And it's narrated by David Attenborough. And I think it's called Our Planet. And I was just inspired by what I saw. And, you know, the Holy Spirit speaks in so many ways. So there are many ways in which he was encouraging me through that documentary. But one of the scenes in this documentary was when a pack of lions, or a pride of lions, took down this massive, a buffalo or a bison, I'm pretty sure it was a buffalo. But these lions, it showed like this whole group of buffalo, like there were millions of them, or like hundreds and thousands of them migrating like across the plains. And there were so many of them in this big old group traveling. And there was this pride of lions that were obviously waiting for this time. Like they knew the times and seasons. They recognized when the buffalo were going to be migrating around this area. So they lay in wait and were patient in their waiting because they knew, okay, we're going to get a feed, you know? So what they did, they cornered this one buffalo. They waited for the majority of them to pass, and they corner one that was relatively isolated. It was eating food by itself. And what they did, they positioned themselves. The lions positioned themselves in an optimal position so that they could be ready to strike and exercise their strategy to take down this buffalo. And their strategy consisted of the female lions going first, so that one lion after the other would pretty much take turns weighing down this buffalo, because on its own, the buffalo actually weighed more than the lions. But the lions had this strategy in which they would continually jump on the buffalo to weigh it down in order to fatigue it, make it tired. So they would take turns. One lion would go hold onto the back and just muscle it down. The buffalo would shake it off and keep running. Then another lion would approach, jump on, weigh the buffalo down. The buffalo would shake it off and keep on running. And there was about 5-6 lions taking turns running until towards the end of the battle, the male lions got involved. And we know that lionesses are the primary ones that do the hunting, but the male lions got involved and they weigh heavier than the female lions and they're a bit stronger. So they were really bearing down on this buffalo, and you could see the buffaloes getting more and more tired. Though it started with strength, it started with gusto, it started with zeal, it had fire in its belly to get away from these lions. Obviously adrenaline's pumping, because the lions were persistent in their attack, persistent in their approach, strategic. They continued to operate in this format, in this strategy, really, that they had practiced and they had exercised. So they all knew their role. So over time, the buffalo got tired and the lions were counting on this. And when the buffalo was getting more and more tired, they all pretty much pounced on it and weighed it down. And they conquered it and it died, and they feasted on the buffalo. And it just made me ponder on the techniques that the enemy uses on us as children of God, and how often the enemy will be patient. And I've mentioned that before. The enemy is more patient than we realize. He's willing to wait for an optimal time to be able to strike and attack you when you're at your weakest or most vulnerable. In the same way, he can operate in strategy, in that he will continually present tests and obstacles and oppositions and attacks in such a way to exhaust you, to wear you out, that your seed of faith may be crowded out by, you know, the worries of life, the stresses of life, the attacks. Your eyes then come off of Christ and begin looking at the persistent waves that are crashing around you. And I think I've said in previous videos that, you know, the enemy is not your friend, obviously. He's not our friend. And He's a kind of enemy to kick you whilst you are down. He's not like, let's play fair, like, let's have an even fight. He's like, no, I want you to be suppressed. I want you to hide that light that's within you. I want you to be silenced. He wants to silence the voice of the mouthpieces of God, of the messengers of God, of the prophets of God. He wants to subdue that light and smother it so no one can see it. And he's willing to wait and be patient as he does that. And also we've been talking about deception. I've been talking about deception a lot in a couple of my videos over on Peace and the Promise. And part of that strategy of deception is that he wears you out over time. So he will get you to carry a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit here, a little bit there until you're swamped. And then he will come and present lots of stresses, worries, attacks, and tests and opposition. So at the end of the day, you feel like you're carrying the weight of the world. And like the buffalo, at some point your knees buckle up from under you and you collapse. And that's when the enemy jumps on you, right? So I just thought of a couple of things. I was reminded of the scripture in Hebrews, I believe it's Hebrews 12 and 1, when it says we got to lay off every weight. Let me read it, that way we can actually know what we're talking about. So if we go to Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1, and it says, let's go to a translation that we can understand, eh? It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So we're called to throw off every weight. We're called to leave behind anything that entangles us, anything that ensnares us and causes us to slow down in our race, or causes us to stop running the race with endurance. So it caused me to ponder about the many things that the enemy may present in our lives to distract us from purpose. Purpose distractors. And that can look like anything from active sin, you know, continually being tempted and tested with the same thing, and he will continually present it to you. And let's say you're active in that thing, you're not confessing it out, you're still burrowed in that thing, you're keeping it concealed, so you're still giving the enemy an element of territory in your life. People can say, oh, but how can the enemy rule in you if the Holy Spirit's in you? You have a choice, and we have free will as to what we welcome inside ourselves, as to what we partner with. So yes, you may have the Holy Spirit there, but are you choosing to partner with him? It's not just a process that is like automated, you know, you don't just have nothing to do with the process. You have a responsibility as a believer to yield to the Spirit of God and obey his promptings. He will speak and he'll communicate, but the longer you ignore and the longer that you exalt your flesh over the Spirit, you will no longer recognize the voice of the Spirit in you as you continue to partner with your flesh and partner with the enemy's methods and ways of doing things, right? So when we are participating and partnering with the enemy in active sin, active rebellion, active disobedience, we are giving him territory and reign, and we are essentially being weighed down with that weight of sin, weighed down with the guilt, weighed down with the lie, weighed down with the condemnation and the heaviness and all of that stuff that comes with being an active sin and not confessing it out, right? Another way that he tries to do this is through the troubles of life. And I'm reminded of the parable where it's like this, the farmer was scattering his seed. The farmer was scattering his seed, and some of the seed fell on, you know, rocky ground. Some of the seeds fell in thorn bushes. Some of the seeds fell in like fertile soil. And the ones that fell in thorn bushes, they resembled those that receive the good news, those that hear the news of the gospel, hear the news of Christ, and you receive it with joy. But over time, the worries of life, the stresses of life, and the enticements of the world, finances, you know, the things that distractions ultimately, they choke out that seed of faith. So there is no longer any room for that faith to grow. There's no longer any room for that faith to expand. It's essentially smothering that light and smothering that seed that was deposited within you. And another way that he does it is through active opposition. And this looks like when you are actually walking in obedience, you are walking in surrender, but the enemy is continually sending things to distract, discourage, and disrupt your process because he wants you ultimately to walk off the pitch and quit, right? So that we can see that in the book of Ezra, when the returning exiles, they were rebuilding the wall, they were trying to rebuild the city of Jerusalem, but the people of the land were actively hostile towards them. And they had several approaches in which they tried to intimidate the people and drive the people out and stop them from rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. And what they did, you know, they were actively hostile, first up, you know, telling them, like, you shouldn't be doing this, da 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 da. They would then go and try and get the allegiance of the king of the time and say, you know what, this is what they're doing. And they tried to manipulate the king and say, you know, this won't be good for, you know, political reasons and yada, 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 yada. And other ways that they worked is that they embedded enemies within the people, that the returning exiles. So they had double agents, essentially, and they hired them to frustrate the rebuild for the people who had returned, the returning exiles who had come back to Jerusalem. So the enemy will use multiple ways to discourage the faithful. When you have been given an assignment from God, he has multiple ways and multiple avenues in which he comes to try and distract and halt and stop the process. Right, so yeah, this is ultimately just an encouragement for anyone who was feeling bogged down. Like, you can't catch a break. Like, you've been doing the thing, you've been faithful, but you have been pressed to the degree that you don't even know if you can fly anymore. You are like trying to take flight, but it's like every time you try to take flight, like something is swooping at you, something's attacking you. Like, you're like, I'm literally trying, but I can't, I don't have the strength anymore to persevere. I do not have the strength. I'm doing all that I know to do, but it feels like there is just something that is trying to hinder me from advancing. And I'm here to tell you and encourage you that, bless you, baby. I'm here to encourage you that, yes, there is an enemy out there that doesn't want you to advance, particularly in the God-given assignment that the Lord has given you. And it's less about you, but it's more about what you are carrying. It is more about the message that you bring. That is what is a threat to the enemy. Sometimes we like to puff ourselves up and be like, oh yeah, like, I'm a massive threat. I'm the threat to the enemy. And it's like, it's not us. It's the message that we carry. It is the Spirit of God. It is the Word of God that the enemy flees from. So it is less about you. It's less about, oh my gosh, like, it's all about me and da da da. But it's more about what you're carrying. You know, the enemy knows that if I can appeal to the flesh, if I can entice the flesh, now that can either be through temptation of like, oh, luring you with what you want and what you like, you know, with the Pied Piper, you know, singing melodies into your ears that sound enticing and sweet that cause you to follow him. If he can't do that, it's going to be like, he's going to use another technique of, let me directly throw arrows, flaming darts at these people, so that if I can't get them to join me, I can crush them, you know. And it's vice versa, if I can't beat them, let me get them to join me, you know. So the enemy has so many ways, and so we could go into so many ways in which he tries to discourage and dwindle the light within the servants of God, or hide the light that is within the servants of God. But ultimately, what we need to remember is, whatever his methodology, we just need to know that the enemy is after what you carry. The enemy is after the message that has been deposited within you and awakened within you from the Lord, you know. So every encounter you've had with God, every word he's given you, every element of revelation, every element of growth that has been produced within you, that has ripened and richened the anointing of God on your life, the enemy is after that. And I want us to remember that to whom has been given much, much is required. And when we make good use of what the Lord has already given us, he gives us more. So the enemy wants to subdue and suppress what the Lord has given you so that you're not fruitful. It's kind of like, I'm so bogged down, I'm so tired, I'm so worn out, I'm just going to sit and not do anything because, you know, that way maybe I won't get attacked, or I'm just feeling so tired. But that is an attack of the enemy. The enemy wants you to feel worn out and run dry, and to have those thorns, those weeds of this life, the stresses of life, the torments of life, to choke out that seed of faith that's within you. And it's not accidental. There are things, yep, that we bring about ourselves when we're engaging in sin, and when we're, you know, just by going through life, hardship that goes through, you know, that is going on throughout our lives. But there are things that the enemy is strategically trying to use to throw you off course. So I want us to think for a moment, like, let us identify, what are those factors? What are those things that the enemy is using to cause us to be derailed, to cause us to just kind of sit down in the middle of the track and say, I can't go on anymore. I can't go on. I remember a distinct area of my life in which there were continual tests, and there are still continual tests. And I remember there was one time it was just consuming me so much. And then the Lord was like, you know that this, the enemy is actually using this area of your life as a distraction to the purpose and the calling that I've given you. And that gave me this unreal awakening and revelation of like, whoa, it's so much bigger than this. It's so much bigger than what I see. But the enemy is using this as a distraction to kind of prevent me from proceeding and advancing in what the Lord's calling me to do. And this would look like, you know, there would, I would be poked in that area or tested in that area, and it would ruin my whole day. Let's say I planned, oh yeah, I'm going to write this encouraging post. Or I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And then I'm poked in that area and I'm like, you know what? I don't feel like writing this anymore. I just feel so discouraged. I just feel so angry. I feel like I'm not in the right heart posture. I feel like I'm not in the right spirit or the right mode to write this encouragement, because that was the enemy's intent. He's like, let me silence the voice of the prophets. Let me silence the voice of the messengers of God, right? So just be aware that the enemy is after the seed that is within you. He is after, you know, every glimmer of light that is within your life. So when you see that darkness is surrounding you, it might not be inside, so to speak, but everywhere you look, there's darkness. Every area of your life, there's an attack, there is a test, there is frustration. It's like when one test is done, another wave of testing keeps coming. Know that you are in good company. You are probably doing the right thing. As long as you are not in active sin, you know, the testing is evidence that you're human. It's evidence that you are a servant of God, because Jesus does confirm, he's like, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. And, you know, the scripture does tell us to ensure that the trials that we face are not brought about by our own misconduct, are not brought about by our own sin, are not brought about by our own error. Rather, let it be a testing that comes from us actually walking in alignment with Christ. Let it be opposition from the enemy because we're walking faithfully. Let the tests that we're enduring not be because of our disobedience and not be because of our rebellion, but let it actually be evidence of the fact that we are walking faithfully with the Lord. And let us continue to lean on him as we endure through these tests. You know, it's not easy, but God promises that he remains with us throughout it all. And I'm reminded of like a particular dream that I had. And in this dream, it's as if the enemy had sent out agents to distract me. The enemy had sent out agents, and there were like different agents, different demons at different points that were assigned to pretty much monitor me and to take me out, like to kill me. If they had the opportunity, they were to kill me. And in this dream, like there were so many, like I think there were at least 5 or 6 different demons in different areas that they were assigned to like track me and kill me if they could. And in the dream, I was relentless. Like I refused to yield. I was like, I refuse. And you know, they tried to imprison me, but in every scene of the dream, I was not even entertaining them. I was looking for a place to escape. I was like, nah, let me flee. I refuse to be held by you. So I was always escaping. And then I would go into another scene where I'm again being oppressed by another one. And it's like, nah, I was always looking for a different way. I was like, nah, I'm not going to be oppressed. I'm not going to be, you know, intimidated by this principality. So I would keep escaping until I reached a final scene where it's like two of the agents were talking to each other, and they were like taken aback, and they were actually impressed, and they were looking as they saw me, like looking for another way to escape. And they were like, they never told us that she had this much fight in her. Like, this is interesting. Like, how is she still going? Like, how is she still going? So I say that as an encouragement, like, we are being wrestled, and the fight that we are fighting, it's not against flesh and blood, but it's against rulers, it's against principalities in this dark world. And the enemy wants us to oppose one another. The enemy wants us to partner with him and cause each other pain and distress. But the Lord is saying, our fight is not against flesh and blood. It's against the rulers and the principalities of this dark age. So we are to intercede for each other more than ever before. We are to pray that the Lord unveils the enemy's plot. We are to pray that we remain steadfast in faith, that we do not give the opportunity to the enemy to take hold of our lives and take hold of our vessels and utilize us as his children to inflict pain on one another. But rather, we're to walk in a faithful manner and walk in a way that is glorifying God. And it's not to say that we won't fall. It's not to say that we won't stumble. But let us not give the enemy a foothold into our lives. Let us not give him leverage as far as it is possible for us. Let us not give the enemy leverage. Let us flee from temptation. Let us stand firm in the faith. And let us identify those distractors to purpose. What is distracting us from our purpose? What is distracting us from our purpose? You know, I remember I even had a friend, like, And we're in purpose. It's like there was a particular person that she was trying to avoid. And this person, whenever we were trying to advance in the things of God, like this person kept just popping up. And we would always laugh and we'd pray and we'd identify. We're like, that's a distraction to purpose. This is a distractor to purpose. And, you know, the distraction to purpose could be a person. It could be a habit. It could be a trial. Maybe you're continually attacked in certain areas. If it's not your marriage, then it's your kids. If it's not your kids, then it's your finances. If it's not your finances, it's your job. If it's not your job, it's your family relationships, etc., etc. Identify distractors to purpose and refuse to yield to dread and hopelessness in those areas. You know, identify where the enemy is trying to sap your hope, sap your strength. He's trying to utilize these areas to cause you to feel helpless and hopeless, because in that way he's creeping further and further in and snatching that light or covering that light that is within you. So be encouraged, stand firm in faith, stand firm in truth, and know that you are not alone when you feel tested. And just remember, particularly the messengers of God, if you're a mouthpiece for God, which is ultimately all of us, you know, whether you are a prophetic person, whether you are a prophet or not, like we are all instructed to proclaim the good news, to declare the good news, to profess it, to confess it, to share it, to be messengers of the Lord. Recognize that the enemy is after that. So if you ever find yourself feeling like, I just have to be silent, I just feel so tired, I just feel so discouraged, I don't want to say anything, recognize that the enemy is seeking to dim that light or to conceal that light. And the Lord says, no one lights a lamp and hides it and puts it under a table. You put it at the highest point of the house so everyone can see. So in all things, remain standing firm, remain steadfast, and, you know, just remember, you know, that the Lord is on your side. So again, I just want us to reflect and ponder, like, what is consuming you? What is draining your strength? What is stopping you from running your race? What is diluting the potency of your hope? What is sapping it? What parasite has attached itself to you and has been sucking you dry, bleeding you dry of hope? You know, identify that parasite, identify the distraction, and handle it accordingly. Some need to be thrown off, like every weight that is entangling us, throw off that weight. Some need to be uprooted, like those weeds. Some need to be watched. Sometimes you just need to keep your eye on the test. Sometimes you just need to keep your eye on distraction. Like, I've marked it. I recognize that's a distraction. So I've flagged it now. So every time it pops up, let me recognize, let me address it in the way God leads me to. But let me also recognize that it's a distraction. So yeah, that's the encouragement for today, guys. I know it's been some time, but I pray that you have been encouraged as I have. Keep the faith. Don't keep it to yourself. Keep on walking, keep on shining the light of Christ at any capacity that the Lord has given you and with the grace that he's given you to do so. And let's just keep standing firm in truth and in faith. Don't let the enemy steal your shine. Don't let him smother it. And don't let the worries of this life choke it out, in Jesus' name. All right, guys, until the next episode. Peace. All music is sourced from its own music.